Brother Kripa has selected for his lesson at this time, forgiveness. Brother Ray Kripa.
My dear brethren, it is indeed a great privilege to be with you all. Vernie and I have looked forward to this convention and seeing some of you dear ones that we only see maybe once a year or so. And the providences of the Lord just rearranged things a little bit for us, and Vernie couldn't come, but she does send you her special loving greetings. And I'm sure she's with us in spirit. And I guess by this time you know that my mother is ill. She, I think, is doing reasonably well for the problems that she's been through. She sends her love and greetings also. She faces another trip to the hospital in a couple of weeks to have more surgery. And so she is somewhat apprehensive about that. But she's trusting the Lord. She said she's ready to go home if that be the Lord's will. And her spirit is just what it should be. And that makes us all feel wonderful. And so we do thank you also for your prayers. There's an awful lot of love being sent to you from the brethren in Portland. It's such a huge amount that I can only bring a half. And my fellow laborer in the vineyard will, in just a few minutes, bring the other half. When we think of our service to the Lord, and when we ask Him for help as to what might be of special blessing to the Lord's people, I feel very confident that the Lord does overrule and help us in focusing in on things that that someone at this convention will need, in addition to, for instance, in my case, myself. And so my thoughts have been focusing in on our Lord and our Heavenly Father and how loving and how forgiving they are. When you think of our Heavenly Father arranging His great plan of salvation for the world of mankind, even though they disobeyed His instructions, and that He has, in spite of the permission of evil, in reality forgiven our first parents for their disobedience. And not only that, but He is preparing for them just such a feast of blessings when God's kingdom is established here on earth, that they will not even remember, hardly, this nighttime of sin and suffering and heartache and tears that the world has gone through. And then to think of how our Lord, when He was here on earth, continued to keep His disciples in mind, and how loving and forgiving He was, it just sweeps you off your feet. I think of how the Apostle Peter felt when he denied the Lord. And you remember how the Lord just said to Peter, just at the time that he needed it, "Peter, I've prayed for you." And this enabled Peter to go on. If it wasn't for the master saying that, it would have been impossible for Peter to go on. I know. And so I'm sure that we, as those who love the Lord and want to be just like our beloved master was, we appreciate the divine arrangement that has been made for us to ask the Father for forgiveness and to appreciate His forgiveness for our shortcomings. I'm very confident in saying that each one of us here in this room feels and is very aware of our need for forgiveness. Very early, when most of us were just little, maybe hardly more than just a babe, our parents were probably teaching us how to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth even as it is done in heaven." Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and all those things that make up the Lord's Prayer. And so that has been written upon our hearts in a way that we will never forget it during our lifetime here as we try to serve our Heavenly Father. And when our Lord was here on earth, He knew that we would need the Father's forgiveness. And not only that, but He knew that because we are so human, that we're so fallen, that we come so very short, that we would on occasion need the forgiveness of our own brothers and sisters in the narrow way. Have you ever noticed how much easier it is to go to the Heavenly Father and to ask His forgiveness for something that we may have said or done than it is to go to someone here on earth? It's not easy for me to go to Vernie and say, "Vernie, I'm sorry I said that. Forgive me." Do you know I have to struggle with myself to say that? Or you try to go to some brother or sister and say, "Look, I'm sorry, I was all wrong, and I shouldn't have said that." Most of the time, you know, you act as though you're sorry, and you do all sorts of things. You might pat them on the back, and you might smile at them, and do a dozen things, except you just can't get that word out that I'm sorry, and please forgive me. But the Lord wants us to learn that kind of a lesson. Generally, the definition of forgiveness is to give up resentment or claim for payment on account of an offense. That's what the dictionary says. I like Webster an awful lot. But in trying to make it somehow a little bit more understandable for myself, I think that I've kind of made this kind of a definition that says that forgiveness means a complete getting rid of a charge against someone else without regard to what brought about the dissatisfaction. So often, we might forgive someone or say that we're forgiving them, but way down deep in our heart, we somehow can't forget why it was that this all started. And I remember a lesson that Brother Barton, old Pilgrim Brother Barton, made years ago, and I'm sure that many of you, or some of you at least, will remember this. And it was a lesson, must have been along this line, and he says that we're so apt at times to say, oh yes, Brother so-and-so did this to me, but I've forgiven him. But Brother Barton says in his lesson that if we had really forgiven him, we wouldn't have even mentioned that this brother did something to you years and years ago. He says, in effect, and this is the part that you'll probably remember, he says, in effect, when we really think that we've forgiven someone, that we say, well, it's like we bury that experience in the ground. So it's gone. But he says, you know what happens? We put a little tombstone on it. And he says, then we say, oh, well, that brother, 20 years ago, that brother did this and this, see? And you've never really forgotten about it. But that's not the kind of a forgiveness that we want to develop. Perhaps one of the greatest blessings that we as consecrated children of God have received from our Heavenly Father, because we've given our whole being to Him, is that He has begotten us by His Holy Spirit. And because of this, and in order to receive this, we receive some of the merit of Christ's sacrifice, which then permits us to go to the throne of heavenly grace, asking our Heavenly Father on occasion for His forgiveness. And so we have fellowship with God, and our standing before Him is just as though we were perfect, even though we are in these fallen human bodies. We are fallen, and we're prone to sin because we inherited this from our first parents. And so it is impossible for us to avoid shortcomings and manifesting our faults. But our Heavenly Father, in His great arrangement for His people, has made it so that our unintentional transgressions need not be charged against us if we go to the throne of heavenly grace and ask our Father to forgive us for what we have done. This, I think, is a very important part of our lesson. We don't want to ever have the attitude that, oh, the Lord will understand. The Lord knows that I didn't mean it, and so then we just sort of brush it off and go merrily on our way. The scriptures in 1 John, the first chapter and the 9th verse say, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so this truly is a precious promise that we appreciate and that we also want to keep in mind, going often to the throne of grace, asking for our Father's help and His forgiveness for our shortcomings. Our Heavenly Father is very ready and very quick to forgive and receive us into a fellowship with Him. But a great deal depends upon the amount of light and favor that we have sinned against. To those of us who may not fully understand the teachings of God's Word, perhaps along one line or another, and even though we may find it in the Scriptures, perhaps we may just not take it too seriously, but if this does happen, the Heavenly Father sometimes sends an ambassador. Someone is sent to us that will help us get the point of God's Word. In Psalm 141, the fifth verse, we read, "Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities." And so the Heavenly Father does send someone to help us understand our faults, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, something that maybe we are not even aware of. And so it was when David had an experience where there was someone that felt that he wasn't doing right, and he picked up, you remember the experience, the person picked up these stones and dust and dirt and threw it at the king. Why, the king's men, so to speak, his guards, his soldiers around him, wanted to grab this man and throw him in prison, and perhaps he would have paid with his life, but David wouldn't let them do that. He said, no, this comes from God. And so here's a case where a person like that, this messenger, doesn't particularly need our forgiveness, or doesn't have to ask for our forgiveness, because in reality he acts as an ambassador, as a servant of the Heavenly Father. And so if we are tested along one line or another by some instrumentality, let us thank God that we have been helped to correct ourselves. And in proportion as any of us have, and all who have really consecrated themselves, have tasted of the good word, as it is mentioned in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the 4th to the 6th verses, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, then we bear a great responsibility. Now this lesson, and we won't get into that, because that Hebrews 6:4-6 talks about those who have sinned willfully. But the point I'd like to emphasize is about sinning against light and knowledge. And that's also brought out in Hebrews 10:26-31. And so if we are careless about light and knowledge, then we cannot expect our Heavenly Father to bless us as we would want to be blessed, because we are careless about His Word. We must never be careless about the admonitions that come to us from the Heavenly Father. According to the Scriptures, then, the forgiveness of our sins is dependent on whether also we forgive others their sins against us. And the Master, in teaching his disciples that prayer, it's recorded in Matthew 6:12, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." There's no easy forgiveness. It's not easy to ask for forgiveness, and it's not easy to grant someone forgiveness for what they've done to us. Forgiveness is possible only by one who is morally sensitive and therefore grieved by the experience. Our heart should be so tender that if we do hurt someone, that we should quickly recognize what we have done and quickly ask for their forgiveness. Just think, for instance, what a wonderful example we have in Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Even though he was being stoned to death, he had no hate for those who were doing that terrible thing to him. In Acts 7:60, we find the last words that he spoke, praying to the Heavenly Father, saying, "Lay not this sin to their charge." Now, he wasn't asking the Heavenly Father to change his will for those people, or to wasn't trying to direct the arm of the Heavenly Father, but he was there distinguishing between the sin and the sinner, which we also must always do. What the sinner did was wrong, and yet they themselves might be made right in due time. The deed of stoning was just about complete. And yet, nothing could be done about that. The job had been done. And yet, the people that did it would still continue living. And so this is what Stephen had in mind. He felt that if the Heavenly Father didn't hold this against them, that perhaps someday they would see that they had made a mistake. One man at that stoning of Stephen changed his mind after that experience. That was Saul of Tarsus, as you well know. And so the Heavenly Father did forgive him for that, and he went on to become the great Apostle Paul. And so the disposition to forgive should be with us always, for this is Godlike. God is kind, loving, generous, even while we were yet sinners. And if our hearts are full of the Spirit of God, then, like Stephen, it will even show on our faces, because they said of Stephen that his face shone like the face of an angel. Well, I've just scratched the surface. Sometime when I get another half hour, I'll try to finish this for you. May God help us all to be forgiving, because God has forgiven us so very, very much. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ray, for that wonderful lesson on forgiveness. It is necessary to have forgiving hearts.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy many blessings. We appreciate especially the sacrifice of Jesus and the truth, and for the privilege that we have this weekend of meeting together at this convention. Continue with us now as our dear Brother Carlton speaks to us. Fill his heart and mind with Thy Holy Spirit, and bless our own hearts and minds so that we may be receptive to Thy Word. Forgive us for our sins and shortcomings, and continue with us now as we linger in Thy presence, for we ask it all in Jesus' dear name. Amen.